Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. This week, we review the Seaside on Tap Beer Festival, pay tribute to a comedy legend, and discuss Michael C. Hall's involvement in an unproduced Kubrick project. Well, guys, it's been a really long time, but this is the first time we've actually had a podcast where we're all in the same room together. So with me, as always, and for the first time in a long time, Ryan DeMarco.
Al, it's you. I can't believe it's you.
And Lucas Jones.
You know, I actually kind of like the other way better.
You want to leave?
Yeah, we could probably go. It'd take us like an hour to get home, and we'll just finish the podcast like over Skype.
Please don't do this.
All right, let's go.
I've been so alone. Well, it's great to have you guys back. Luke, we really didn't have a special occasion beer, but we do have something interesting. What do you got?
Well, Al, we went over to a liquor store right on your main street that your apartment... Well, I shouldn't say your apartment. It's your girlfriend's apartment.
That I'm living in.
That you're living in.
I'm living in.
Free of charge.
Yes. For now.
For now. Forever. So this week we're doing a beer from Shiner. It's Shiner White Wing. It's a Belgian white. It's first brewed in 2013. Comes in with an ABV of 4.7. A bitterness rating of 15 IBUs. And it's available year-round in bottles and draft. So yeah, so it's a Belgian white beer, so it's got a coriander and orange flavor. It's very light, golden amber color, pours with a very minimal head. How much was it, Ryan, for a six-pack?
It's about $10.
About $10 for a six-pack. It is available on draft. It'll probably be a summer beer, although, to be honest, I haven't seen it before now.
No, definitely not.
So, you know what? I'll let you guys go first. You guys let me know what you think. Ryan, how did you respond to the White Wing? Because we kind of picked it up on a whim.
We did. We kind of had no idea what we were going to get. And then we really didn't decide until we were actually standing in front of the cooler picking out beers. Al, you kind of pointed this one out. We had some other selections, but we kind of just... I guess we all agreed this one would be a nice... I guess a nice choice. And it was. I liked it. It's very light. What I do like about this is I can have a six pack of it and I can remember my name after, so that's nice. I won't be a bumbling idiot after two of these. It's nice in flavor, very crisp. I can definitely taste the coriander, a little bit of the orange. I know Al kind of picked out you tasted more of the orange. I didn't. I am satisfied with this choice though. It's a nice light one. I kind of like that because you know we just had the round table.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of porters, a lot of other ones.
IPAs.
I had a lot of IPAs, yeah. a lot of heavier things. At least heavier than this. So this is a nice alternative. Al, what'd you think?
Well, when we went to Seaside on Tap, I think we had a Belgian triple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. It really got me in the mood for a Belgian. So as soon as we saw the Shinerbach in the cooler, you know, that you just mentioned from the liquor store down the street, I was like, wow, I'm really in the mood for a Belgian. And this just really doesn't disappoint. It's a lighter. It's obviously not a Belgian triple. You know, it's a regular Belgian. I mentioned, you know, Ryan already mentioned that I tasted the orange peels. Was it corianders?
Coriander.
It's more of the aroma, honestly, I get from the beer. The full taste, though, I get a lot of the orange peels. And, you know, it's a decent Belgian. It's not, you know, it's not out of this world. But it's a pretty good Belgian. Luke?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely getting coriander and, like, a lot of spices. A lot of spices. That's mainly
spices.
What I'm picking up right now is the spices in the beer.
Right on the tip of my tongue.
So, you know, it's good. Yeah, as always, let me just get a... So you definitely get a smell of, like, a citrus with some spices. And the taste is, like, again... Slightly citrusy, almost like the rind of an orange with that coriander. As far as like Belgian white, I hate to always compare beers to other beers, but you can't
you
really
kinda
avoid
have
it.
To.
You kind of have to. I've had better Belgian whites before. But this is still very good. I like that it's light. It's very refreshing. Yeah. It's not going to weigh you down. You can have two or three and still be fine.
I guess an argument can be made that this might be a little underpowering, maybe just a little bit.
But I think it's because it comes from, and not to downplay Shiner at all, but I think that it comes from a more established brand. And at least in my personal experience, I've seen that beers from like a more established, well-known, like everybody knows Shiner Bock. Everybody knows Shiner Bock. At least they've heard of it or they recognize it when they see it. Tend to be a little bit more conservative with their flavors. And that just might be my personal, you know, my personal opinion, my personal experience. But, you know, that's definitely what it feels like to me. I still like it. You know, I'm always a sucker for Belgians.
No, this is definitely a solid choice.
Mm-hmm.
We can thank Al for once for doing something positive. And
one time. First one. First ever.
Definitely a solid choice. I'm happy we have this. I would get this again. I would give this probably a 7.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I'll probably give this beer a 7 as well. I just don't have any real complaints about it, other than that I've had a better Belgian white. But it's still really good. Shiner Bock still delivered a great product here, and I'm not going to give it a bad review. So 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to go with a 7 as well. You know, like we said, we've had better ones, but you know what? You can't argue against distribution. You know, Shiner's going to have a wide distribution network. And so, you know, when you go to a liquor store and they carry Shiner products, if you pick up the Shiner Belgian White, you know you're going to get a good beer. You don't have to worry about, oh, well, am I local to it? You know, will they distribute to my area? You know, Shiner can take advantage of that little bit of a larger network. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 7, and I'm going to say it's a really solid beer. If you're not sure if you like Belgian Whites, I would go in with this beer first, because it'll give you the base flavors before you start getting into like crazier stuff. So I'll give it a 7 as well. That's Shiner Belgian White.
Well, you heard it here from News Over Brews. This is, I think, one of the first times we've all given the exact same review for a beer.
We're all in agreement.
We're all on the same page with the Shiner Bock Belgian White. And, you know, if you're in the mood for a Belgian, I would go pick it up. It's a pretty good beer. Thank you, Lucas, as usual, for your fantastic review. I'm tired of saying it, honestly. Your beer reviews are great. Whatever. Moving on to more beer news, actually. News Over Brews went to one of their first events together. Actually, it was our first event together. The first one we ever did was Hop Sauce, where you two went to LBI's first ever beer and hot sauce festival.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ryan and I went to Special Edition NYC, which was another first for the creators of New York Comic Con. They made a spinoff of their incredibly popular Comic Con and made it just comics only, which was great. But now all three of us went to Seaside on Tap, another first. Seaside's premier beer festival, located in Seaside Park. And, I mean, they had 60 breweries, over 120 beers. We had to go. There was no other option, honestly. So it was last Thursday, and we just want to give our general reaction to it. We're going to start with Lucas, our resident self-proclaimed beer expert.
Well, I think, most importantly, I think my title has gone from beer expert to New Jersey beer correspondent to national beer correspondent because of the interviews that I did in Connecticut.
All hail the king.
Now my next step is to go to Canada, and then I can become international beer correspondent.
Might as well just go to Asia at this point.
Well, you know, one's significantly closer than the other.
It's all hearsay at this point.
I really enjoyed it. You know, Seaside on Tap, for me, had all the things that make a really great beer festival. It was easy to find, first of all. It wasn't in the middle of nowhere.
It was really local for us.
It was really local. It had a lot of different breweries, you know. It had a lot of offerings. And you know what? To be honest, it was short. And the reason that I like that is because people can't get out of hand. Because as much as we're there to, like, sample breweries and, like, really get a taste for things and, you know, for us, make some contacts and do all that, sometimes you get people who are just there to get as drunk as they possibly can. And those types of people have a tendency to ruin these types of things for everybody else the year after. So I really liked that it was, like, 3 hours long, 7 to 10. I guess my only complaint from Seaside on Tap, and it wasn't even a complaint with the organizers, it was just a complaint for the breweries. Everybody brought an IPA. I get that IPAs are really popular right now. I understand that. In America, IPAs are exceedingly popular. Everyone's going for like that, either the most bitter or the most floral, the most balanced. But IPA is a really, really popular style right now. At the same time, everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring an IPA to a beer festival. Unless it's something really special, just don't.
It's also summer.
Yeah,
you know it's really heavy, and we want to try as much as possible.
And an IPA isn't really good for a festival setting either, because if you're, you know, so we clearly didn't try 120 different beers because there was no time.
Not even remotely close.
You know, I think I maybe had like 15 or 16 different ones, but if I had had 8 IPAs, I wouldn't have been able to taste anything else.
It just
kills you. So, you know, I tried to stay away from IPAs and from breweries that had IPAs.
Not in general.
Well, not in general. But
in like a festival setting.
Absolutely. Right, in a festival setting. Normally I love IPAs. The bigger, the better.
Yeah.
But just not in this kind of a setting. Ryan, what were your impressions?
Well, I certainly enjoyed it. It was, you know, very enjoyable. The whole... It really only suffered minor problems for me. One was the kind of setup. You know, as you said, it was short. However, the way it was set up was kind of... It was just one big... One big like
horseshoe.
One big horseshoe. It was so smothered with people. It was so like enclosed. We were kind of like sardines. I felt like in a couple times. Not only that, like I don't mind being close to people, but you couldn't see any of the vendors. You couldn't see what it was until you were right on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a problem for me because there was a ton of times where I'm like kind of getting lost in people and like I get to like a certain station. I'm like, oh, I've been here 15 times already. Why don't I come back? Other than that, I was actually going to say that too. A lot of people had the same type of beers. A lot of people had the IPAs. There was another type of beer that was like I found a lot.
Pale ales.
Yes.
But like the pale ale is kind of like the staple.
It is. But you know, if you're a brewery and you know you're going to be competing with a hundred other breweries, you kind of want to just stand out. You know, you want to like throw something together that's going to, you know, it's a festival. It's in Seaside, a very popular place. You don't want to bring something that, like, you know, easily another 20 breweries would have. That was my other thing. Other than that, it was very enjoyable. It was very short, which is nice. Not a lot, you know, as you said, a lot of people couldn't get out of hand. Overall, it was a nice time. Mm-hmm. I definitely enjoyed it. I can't wait for next year. Hopefully, you know, maybe a bigger space. We're not all packed together. You can use proper advertisement to show which brewery is where. Al, what'd you think?
Pretty much agree with both. You had a great time at the festival. I loved, you know, all the breweries that really were involved and showed up. I mean, we had a lot of big names like, you know, Founders and Trogues, River Horse. You know, they were all there. And then you had the, you know, a lot of local breweries like Rindouin and
Artisan Breweries.
You know, all these, you know, just quality craft beers all around. I would never even think about complaining about the amount of breweries that were there or the amount of beers. Excellent. I would definitely agree with Ryan on how they presented it. We're under these like really like there's like 5 big tents. Not the best way to do it. I feel like each brewer should have had their own tent, and they kind of, you know, you can interact with the brewery itself. Maybe they didn't have the time for it. Maybe they had, you know, other festivals. I can completely understand that. There's not really that many. There's nothing really to complain about the festival. I had a great time. You know, other than that, maybe more food, mainly because it's only 3 hours of pretty much competitive drinking. You're drinking as much beer as physically possible because you kind of want to taste everything, not just to get drunk.
I'm saying competitive. You just want to try all the different.
Yeah. You want to try as much as possible, and yeah, you can probably get drunk in that amount of time. And the only problem is they had 2 things of food. They had a bacon truck.
Which was delicious, by the way.
Which was amazing, and I'm never going to complain about that. And then pretzels. Also really good. Love pretzels. But, you know, when you have beer, you should have a lot of food options. Maybe they didn't have the space for it. And this is their first time. You got to think about that.
Yeah.
It's their first festival, so they can always improve on it. Hopefully they'll hear our reaction and they'll say, well, they had a great time, but they could have had a better time. So
I think space was maybe the biggest issue that it would have allowed us, because there were a lot of times where we'd go in and get a beer that we really wanted to like really taste and really kind of sit, and there were times we wanted to just sit and relax and like not drink, But there was like nowhere to kind of back up.
Right.
You know, and
a couple feet, and then there was fence.
Right. And like I understand that, you know, like I think it's a little impractical to give each brewery their own tent, especially if a lot of the beers are going to be staffed by volunteers, mm-hmm. which I'm fine with. You know, generally, I really enjoyed myself. You know, a couple of complaints here and then. I think I speak for my other co-hosts here that, you know, a couple of small complaints here or there. But to be honest, we really had a great time. I particularly, if we want to move on to like one or two quick standouts that we had.
What stood out for you guys?
I had Artisan Brewing in Tom's River. I didn't even know they were there.
Tom's River, New Jersey, for people
Tom's River, New Jersey, and they brought an ESB and it was just wow, I was completely blown away. You know, it's the kind of, it was so good that like you taste it and you go, all right, so when do you guys do tastings and when do you guys open?
When can I come take all your beer?
Right. Rinduin showed up with their English Brown, which is just so good. Mm-hmm.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah, just a classic beer that we have loved from them both times that we tried it. And the last one for me, and it would be remiss if I didn't mention it, my favorite beer, the beer that I grew up on, North Coast Brewing's...
Old Rasputin.
We're going to edit that out so that I know what it is.
Yeah.
North Coast Brewing's Old Rasputin. A beer that when I was up at Rutgers and I went to stuff your face, definitely not every night, I would have. And it was so good in the bottle, and it was one of my favorite beers ever. And I get to the North Coast Brewing, and there they have it on tap. Not just on tap, but on Nitro Pour.
He didn't even know. I had to tell him.
Oh, sweet so baby Rasputin. I went online. I got it. I tried it. I got right back online, and I just kept doing that cycle for like three. It was just so good. It was so rich. It was so like creamy. It was so roasty. I wish I lived in Michigan.
The only time you would ever say that, I think.
It's so good. It totally outclasses it in the bottle, you know? So those were my standouts for me.
Ryan, what was your standout?
Well, it was just, there was those, you know, half a dozen brewers we expected to be there that pretty much held their end of the bargain. They had their solid, they brought their solid palette of beers, you know, that you could just, you know, if you tried like a crummy beer or two, you can just, hey, let's go back to them. You know, like, we know they have like a solid beer. I will comment on Lucas' thing. That was a delicious beer, the Old Rasputin.
Had you ever had that before?
No. That was
same. It was my first time.
Fresh out the gate. Certainly will not be my last one. I will say, I feel like that is the only good thing about living in Michigan, unless you want to know what the Great Lakes look like. That's probably it. But it was a hell of a beer. I loved it. I had it about three or four times.
So I had to carry you guys home.
And then you dragged us home by our long hair, of course. Al, what about you?
I'll make it short and sweet. I loved everything. Everything I had, I really had, there's really no complaints. The Old Rasputin, of course, was delicious, and I was glad I had it. But one of the standouts for me, one I can't remember, that's how much beer I had that night. But another one that I really did enjoy, and I never even heard of it before then, was Brooklyn Brewery was there, and of course they had their Brooklyn Lager, which is, you know, they're famous for. But they also had the Brooklyn Blast.
Oh yeah, that
was
good.
That was really good. I never had it before, and I had it on tap, and it was delicious. You know what? By the time I got to some of them, they didn't even have any more beer left. That's how many people were there.
They were tapped out.
It was packed.
They were tapped out. That was pretty good.
They were tapped, yes. Good one, Luke. Yeah, and they actually had to stop letting people in because they either reached capacity or just could not supply that much beer to that many people. There was barrel a lot kicked. Of brewer- yeah, there was a lot of breweries where the barrel kicked or they just ran out of supplies, ran out of beer to give to people. We had a fantastic time at Seaside on Tap, and thank you guys so much for letting us come and try all these beers. It was great to be there, and we can't wait for next year's.
We will have a written review very soon.
Yes, you can see Ryan and Lucas's review. Maybe I'll chime in as well on popbreak.com. You can see their whole review of it. And so look out for that.
So on to a sadder topic of news. Robin Williams this week committed suicide at the age of 63. You know, he's all over the news. There are all types of coverage everywhere. So we thought that we would just keep it light and keep it simple and share some of our best memories of his work. you know, I'll kind of go first here, and I think definitely one of the movie, the first movie that I ever saw him in was Good Morning Vietnam. Still one of my favorite movies to this day of his. You know, I watched it when I was younger. You know, I have such an interest in like war movies and all that stuff, and I really liked the way that he was able to show through a non-combat perspective the dichotomy of the Vietnam War, going from like life on the base and everything being happy and jolly and all that stuff to just the grim reality of what's going on with you know, a couple of scenes that were the bombing of the restaurant, stuff like that. And just his acting range showed really well in that film. So that's one of that is the first movie that I saw of him. Al?
I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, obviously he's been in so many great films, and he's kind of just been around my entire life. I mean, he's been around, you know, last, what, 3 decades, you know, in film and television and just pop culture in general. I mean, that's why it's such a big impact to us. You know, my moment of his, you know, will be Good Will Hunting. It wasn't a movie that I saw when I was four.
Seven.
It wasn't like that. I mean, actually, Ryan introduced me to Good Will Hunting maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even earlier than that. But, you know, his performance in that, you know, alongside Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and, I mean, that's just, first of all, A, one of the most quotable movies ever. And B, I mean that's an Oscar. Was that his first Oscar-winning film? That was, right?
No, it wasn't.
All right. Well, that was one of his Oscar-winning performances, and you can obviously tell. Actually, I watched that movie last night. I introduced my girlfriend to the movie for the first time. And the great thing about that movie is he won Best Supporting Actor that year. He doesn't come in till a half hour into that movie. So there's a solid half hour where he's not even acting in it, and he still stole the entire movie. That's saying something for Good Will Hunting. And, I'm still speechless. It's a devastating loss. You know, we've lost a legend, right?
Yeah, it goes without saying. It's a tremendous loss on Hollywood, the world. He's been such a big impact. He's one of the most iconic personalities that, you know, have been in show business for, you know, late 20th century. Since the late 70s, early 80s, since he was on Mork and Mindy. My personal favorite, you know, it's not even a movie role, because I've been growing up with him for, you know, nearly 3 decades. I just realized how old I was, because I said nearly 3 decades.
You're old.
Yeah. Well, but really, you know, this guy, you know, one of the things I always do, it sounds terrible, but when someone passes from Hollywood, I always look for what other people have to say about him, like celebrity tweets, and everyone loved this guy. Like, when Paul Walker passed a few months back, like, everyone, you know, he was a very great guy. Robin Williams, same vein. He was a kind person. It's such a tragedy, too, because, like, whenever someone... One of my favorite stories was that I read was he was dear friends with Christopher Reeve, who was, you know, the 1978 Superman with the Richard Donner films. And back in the 90s, when he fell off his horse, became paralyzed, he kind of lost hope. And he wanted to die because he couldn't smile. And he said, well, they reported that, you know, his dear friend Robin Williams flew to him and he put on a doctor's outfit. He bursted into the room with one of his, you know, his phony accents, and he made him laugh, which, you know, made him kind of believe in life again. So that's kind of who he was. He gave people hope, and he was always there to just, you know, he had your back. He would always be the person to make you laugh. And just the fact that he kind of lost hope himself, very tragic. So his personal life is my favorite thing. He was such a dear man, devoted himself to many organizations and helping out others. You know, that's a hero right there. It's not even a celebrity. It's not even an actor. That's a hero. So, definitely a profound loss on Hollywood. He was one of a kind. He definitely will live on. I know everyone, including my two co-hosts, will remember him for his many roles or anything else that people remember him by. He will definitely live on as one of the greats.
Moving on to our final topic, Lucas, was there any actual music news this week?
Well, nothing really happened in terms of metal news, so no, there's no real music news this week. Did you bring a trailer talk?
There really wasn't anything that good this week. Wow, we really don't have anything, do we?
Very good, guys. There is something.
What do you got for us, Ryan?
Well, amongst all the BS that has been surfacing as of late, we did get a nugget of fortune. Michael C. Hall, as you all remember him as Dexter and on HBO's 6 Feet Under, will star in...
Produce, actually.
He will star and produce in a new miniseries based off of the late Stanley Kubrick's unfinished scripts. It will be called God Fearing Man, which is pretty awesome.
I love the name.
It's almost as cool as the one name Only God Forgives, and you know that turned out like crap.
That really did.
However, it is called God Fearing Man. It centers on a Canadian-born minister that Hall will play, who becomes a one-of-a-kind safecracker and bank robber.
American bank robber.
No, he's Canadian.
Yeah, he's a Canadian man, but he robbed banks in America.
So he's a Canadian man, American robber.
He's not American. He's Canadian. He's just robbing banks in America.
I feel like this is bothering the news right now.
If you rob banks in Thailand, you don't become Thai. Yeah. You're still an American.
Well, why would you become Thai? You wear ties around your neck.
All right. Just continue with the news.
Anywho. So, he is a successful bank robber. I actually don't know the story of this man. So it's kind of interesting. I would not know how the miniseries would go. And it's kind of interesting to know that, you know, this is going to be based off of Stanley Kubrick's scripts, who's, you know, he's known for making a movie every 27 years. So, you know.
But it will be perfect.
Yes. He's like beyond prolific, honestly. I mean, yeah, he left us, almost 2 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And his last film, you know, people have been wanting to see more of him even though he's gone. And his last film... It's because of his last film that people wanted, you know, they always wanted to say, oh, what if he made another film? Because Eyes Wide Shut wasn't popular to, you know, his Full Metal Jacket or Clockwork Orange or The Shining
2001.
Or 2001 A Space Odyssey. I mean, this guy has made some of the greatest films of all time. And he ended his career with a lackluster film, to say the least.
He wasn't even pleased with it.
No. So, obviously, we'd want to see more from him, and especially if he has these unfinished projects, we want to see, you know, where what they can be.
I'm interested to see how a new writer, it's going to be a British writer, I'm interested to see how someone of this age takes his work and, you know, retells it. I'm interested to see what of his ideas kind of go through the filter and stay intact. And what else is... Because you can definitely tell what is Kubrick and what is not.
That's true.
So, Lucas, any input?
Well, I've never seen 6 Feet Under, nor have I seen Dexter.
Why are you even on the show?
I don't watch a lot of television.
You do, though.
But I don't.
You watch Top Gun and you watch Chef.
Doctor Who.
I watch Top Gear. I do watch Top Gun. Did I
say Top Gun? I meant Top Gear.
Top Chef.
I said Top Chef.
So I can't comment on Michael C. Hall necessarily, but I can comment on Stanley Kubrick because I'm a huge Stanley Kubrick fan.
Sure.
2001 Space Odyssey was one of the defining movies of my childhood. So I am very excited to see more Kubrick material sort of work its way onto the TV screen and into my eyeballs. The one thing I'm interested to see, I think, just like Ryan said, is like, what would a modern writer do with the Kubrick material? You know, how will they interpret it? How will they go with it? How will they sort of make it their own while at the same time retaining that Kubrickness that we know and love?
Yeah, it's very signature.
So I'll probably watch it just to see how it will turn out. I'll probably enjoy it for like 2 episodes, and then I'll stop watching it. Because, I mean, and then I'll catch up with it when it comes out on Netflix, or Ryan records it and I go over to his house. So, because that's how I watch TV nowadays. But, yeah, it's exciting stuff.
you are beyond a disappointment when it comes to either watching movies or catching up on television. It would be great to see this. Hopefully this comes out, this project. I would love to see Michael C. Hall in anything, let alone something that Stanley Kubrick was involved in. I'm a huge Clockwork Orange fan. I had an argument with my girlfriend, and I really wanted to have something Clockwork Orange in our bedroom, but
she's not happy with you right now.
She said no. She said no in every way, shape, or form. She's actually wagging her finger at me as we speak.
He still loves you.
Get out of here.
Not confirmed.
Boys only.
But, yeah, I mean, I love Dexter. I love Michael C. Hall in pretty much anything.
You even like Gamer.
I love Gamer. No one likes that movie, and I love Gamer.
Oh, he was in Gamer. I did like Gamer a lot.
Gamer was great.
Gamer was awesome.
Now you have more input in this.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, yeah. He was the weird guy.
He was the weird guy.
He was the weird guy.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Not John Leguizamo.
Who's in everything. He just sweeps in and gets murdered. Yeah, but Michael C. Hall, Stanley Kubrick, a really interesting, cool plot. I'm definitely sold. Hopefully, is it an HBO, Showtime?
I think it is actually... I actually have no idea, because it has no producer yet. It's simply in the first stages. Well, not in the early stages. Michael C. Hall, all it's confirmed is Michael C. Hall is going to do it. That and the screenwriter, they don't have any other solid information. But, you know, given Michael C. Hall kind of jumped from HBO to Showtime, so I think it would be pretty safe to assume it's going to be one of those networks. However, nothing is solid yet. That's all I can tell you.
Well, this is going to be a really big project. Not only do you have Michael C. Hall, who is fresh off his tenure as Dexter, you also have Stanley Kubrick in the mix. So you're dealing with two very hot properties, even though one is really, really old and not alive anymore. And then the other just ended a very popular show in a terrible way. So, but nonetheless, this is going to be something to look out for.
Yes,
and we are really excited to see anything involving the two. So definitely check that out once it comes out. But we'll give you some more updates. Hopefully we find out, you know, which channel it's going to be on, you know, which cable provider, and, you know, maybe there'll be an amazing director involved. We have no idea, but we'll find out eventually. And that's going to wrap it up here for another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Mannarino, and I had way too much pizza.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and in the words of the late, great Robin Williams, no matter what anyone tells you, words and ideas can change the world. Seize the day. Let your lives be extraordinary.
And I'm Lucas Jones, and there is no way in hell I'm following that up with anything.
Thanks for listening.